Welcome to Gruesomely Gorgeous. I'm your host, Taylor Wells. Joining me, my fellow narrator, Crystal Nail. All of our stories are researched by our criminal justice expert, Caitlin Brandt. Together, we are Gruesomely Gorgeous. Hello, everyone. Today, we are going to be talking about Danielle Harkins. This is a case from 2012 concerning a Florida teacher. So anything involving Florida, obviously, is going to be very entertaining. A teacher was arrested for leading her students into cutting and burning ceremonies. On June 12th of 2012, Danielle Harkins was arrested for a type of student abuse not many would suspect to be under the list of teacher crimes. Harkins is a Florida teacher who forced students to participate in demonic rituals, specifically one involving fires and self-mutilation. So caution, a trigger warning for anybody who is sensitive to self-harm. Harkins was a literacy teacher working with a group of Florida teens. On June 9th, 2012, she told several teens that they had demons inside of them, and that the only way to free themselves of these negative entities was to slice open their skin and then cauterize the wounds. Well, no one knows why she committed these harmful occult activities with her group of students, many cite her dissolving marriage. Eventual divorce and custody battle over her children as the catalyst for her unhinged rituals that would end in two students bleeding and badly burned. As dusk set on June 9th of 2012, Harkins started a small fire near St. Petersburg Pier. This 35-year-old literacy teacher at the Lilman and Asian Neighborhood Family Center was prepping a cleansing ritual for herself and some of her former students. When the handful of students arrived, she told them that there were demons living in their bodies, and that the only way to exorcise them was for Harkins to cut the former student open and cauterize their wounds. Police spokesman Mike Poots says there was apparently some chanting and dancing around the fire that was taking place. And then Harkins instructed the teens to slice each other open while she used a lighter to burn their wounds. During the ritual, Harkins used a lighter in an attempt to brand one of the former students. After the wind blew out the flame, she decided to pour perfume on him as an accelerant, and her plan worked too well. The fire was so intense that it caused second-degree burns on the student's hand. Another student received a slash on the throat from a jagged piece of broken bottle. After cutting the student, Harkins used a burning key to cauterize their wound. A spokesperson for the police said that the students who participated in the ritual were loyal to their former teacher and keeping mum about the event. To backtrack, Danielle and her husband George were going through a very bad divorce. The two didn't have a healthy marriage by a long shot. Prior to the divorce, she took her husband to court for a domestic dispute that was dismissed. So she was definitely dealing with a series of emotional issues. Along with the stress of a recent divorce, Harkins had allegedly started getting into religion. Her neighbor, Lisa Cope, claims that one day Harkins stopped by to tell the poor woman that she was okay and that she didn't have any demons. That's exactly what someone who has demons would say, right? Another bizarre piece to this puzzle is how on board the students appeared to be with their ex-teacher. Even though she so obviously committed ritualistic abuse, they still didn't give any information to the police about her previous activity. The only student that offered anything to the press was Stephen Chanthamala, 17, who said, "I'm fine. All I know is that she's in custody." Without any of the students coming forward and admitting to anything else happening to them, the only thing people could do is speculate on the nature of Harkins' crime. In the time she had with the students, she was able to isolate and groom them into caring for her, or at least into believing all of her weird blood ritual talk. Once the ritual ended, no one ran home to tell their parents or call the cops. It appeared as if all the students believed that what Miss Harkins was doing was completely normal. After the incident blew up in the press, many of the students didn't even want to talk about the ritual or their former teacher. However, one of the students brought the ritual up to a friend after the night of the incident via text. That friend immediately told their parents, who called the police. It's possible that if one student hadn't told their friend, Harkins would have continued this pattern of abuse until someone died. Before she was leading teenagers into blood rituals to cleanse their body of demonic entities, Harkins was reportedly a normal person. She taught literacy at a community center in St. Petersburg, Florida, and was married with two kids. She was living the dream, but there was something awful brewing inside of her. Carolyn Chance, the administrator at the Lealman and Asian Neighborhood Family Center, described Harkins as a very good teacher. Chance said that she was very intelligent. She was very skilled. Just recently, she started exploring religion, but I didn't know anything about demons or anything like that. After the story about her teenage blood ritual got out, Harkins was arrested on one count of child abuse and one count of aggravated battery. She was put on leave from her teaching position and held on a $55,000 bail. At the time of her arrest, police were hoping the students who were involved in the ritual would give them more information. If they were letting her cut them up and light them on fire, she was likely doing something else that they didn't know about. Unfortunately, none of these teens were talking, so no one knows what else she might have been doing. As of 2014, Harkins was released from prison on her own recognizance. After serving only 6 months total for the child abuse and paying thousands of dollars in court and bond fees, Harkins was released from prison and just disappeared. A local Fox affiliate in St. Petersburg went to her house and rang her doorbell, but Harkins never answered. It's unlikely she will ever discuss what led her to cutting up her former students in a blood ritual on the pier. In her search for religious cleansing, Harkins was likely suffering the same affliction that so many people have faced for centuries. Many people with mental issues have been told by their church that they have a demon inside of them and that it needs to be exorcised, rather than to seek professional medical help. According to J. Gordon Melton, the director of the Institute for the Study of American Religion, possessions are making a big comeback. He told ABC News, "There's a lot of exorcism going on." Harkins was going through a divorce and living in the shadow of domestic violence. What she needed was a therapist, but instead of speaking with a professional, she began self-medicating with a twisted ideology masked as religion. It's not surprising that she saw demons nearly everywhere she looked. For only about a week in June 2012, the story about the teacher leading her students through this horrible abuse circulated the news, and people were worried about whether or not there was a cult in St. Petersburg schools, and if their child is going to get sucked into it too. Harkins was initially charged with a felony that promised a lengthy sentence, but then the story stopped. Harkins went to prison, but it doesn't look like she did any real time. There were no follow-ups in the press, which meant that none of the students talked about their experiences. Danielle remains disappeared, somewhere not to be found. However, her children are in custody with her husband and are allegedly okay. This next story is talking about cults and human trafficking. I actually experienced this personally when I went to college here in San Antonio, Texas. There was this one group that called themselves, I can't remember what it was, but they had this big deal about Mother Earth and Mother God, and okay, that's fine, you can believe whatever you want, but they would literally chase people that I knew around parking lots, around stores, and were very freaking aggressive about it. And so, like, an actual alert went out through the whole campus and everything, like, do not talk to these people, push the emergency call button if you come across these people, because it's like they're not affiliated with the school. There's no, like, Mother Earth religious group or anything affiliated with my school or going on anywhere. And it was like adults on campus that were doing this. So it was like they probably weren't even students. And then the shopping center near my college, that was where people would get tracked down a lot. There were two big outdoor shopping malls that you could easily have gotten trafficked at, and it was actually quite scary. Regardless of that, just living in a town that is known for human trafficking is pretty scary. You have to be on your guard 24/7 and always looking out for signs of traffickers. So maybe this story that I found on Reddit will help you guys see some of the signs and be able to get out of those situations a little easier if that happens to you. This post was posted a day ago, which is surprising that this cult or whatever is going on with this is still going on. I was in school a while back. I graduated in 2019, and so all of this was going on. I believe it started in about 2018. I had an experience with a lady and her son following me and my boyfriend around Walmart. She was very aggressive, and I had to tell her off. I was like, look, I don't want to join anything that you're trying to tell me. I was just so, so grateful that Daryl was there with me. We had just started dating at that point, I believe, in 2018. Yeah, in 2018. And I was terrified, absolutely terrified, because I was not even, like, really super close to my campus at that point at that Walmart. It was maybe a good 15 minutes away from campus where my off-campus apartment was. So these people were getting out and really trying hard to get all of these young women. And it was never the men that I knew of that were ever approached by these people. It was usually women approaching women, which is a tactic in human trafficking, because women and children make you feel more comfortable because you think, oh, well, they're a woman too, or they have a child, they're safe to be around. But that is just untrue. If you come to a town that is big for human trafficking, or really anywhere, that's what I would do, anywhere, if you see a child on the side of the road crying or injured, you call the cops. You don't even stop your car, because you will get kidnapped. You will get assaulted. So things like that, you just have to be aware of. And let's get into this Reddit story. Let's go. So Tabitha at Target, I was almost human trafficked or recruited into a cult. This was posted by Emmy6. This is my first post on Reddit. This literally happened to me an hour ago, and I have never had any interaction as unsettling as this, or had any suspicion that someone was trying to human traffic me or recruit me into a cult. And I'm going crazy trying to figure out the stranger's motives and would love to hear what other people think. Also, I'm on mobile. Sorry. Here's some context. It's Friday night and I leave a friend's house later than planned, knowing I had to stop at Target for a few things on the way home, and they closed at 10. I am a 24-year-old female. We are in a very safe suburb outside of a large city, and I frequent this Target often. We were playing tennis earlier, so I'm in athletic attire. I arrive at 9:30. Late, I know when they close at 10, so I'm rushing around and getting a few things that I need. I know where everything in the store is, and I thought I could be out by 9:50. I am really not paying attention to anyone around me, as I am kind of on a mission to get in and get out. I'm also extremely exhausted from the week. I am in the makeup section when I feel this lady staring at me, looking me up and down. I realized that I had seen her in the medicine section that I first went to, too. But I really didn't think anything of it. I'm 5'9 and a former college athlete. I'm not a smart girl. I've never really been afraid of strangers, and I don't consider myself to be a paranoid person at all. I can actually be pretty naive and unsuspecting, as you'll see. I forgot about her as I am trying to look quickly for a new, specific shade of blush I wanted. It took me longer than expected to find, but I eventually do. Right when they made the intercom announcement that it was 9:45 and that they are closing in 15 minutes. I go to get the last item I needed from the grocery section. Chips and guac. I get to the chips aisle when the woman approaches me, exuberantly complimenting my tennis skirt. Even mentioned that she noticed it earlier. Now looking back, it seems like she was trying to cover for the fact that I saw her staring at me earlier. I thought it was strange she even mentioned seeing me around the store before, as I thought I even realized that it was the same lady staring from earlier. But whatever. She asks where the skirt is from, and I tell her it's Venus Williams clothing line, and then she's asking me all about tennis, how long I've played, if I played in college, etc. I assume maybe she plays too or just loves the sport, but then she says she wishes she knew how to play. Some context on her. She's a white 40 to 50 year old lady, dusty brown curly hair, dressed pretty hip-ish, kind of heady. At this point, I think she's a little eccentric or lonely. I feel bad she's eager to strike up conversations with strangers and Target, but I really just thought she was a nice old lady. She tells me her name is Tabitha, and then she's like, "Can I ask you a strange question?" and elaborates on how she recently started working with people in their 20s. And prior to this, she didn't know that was something she could do, and some other stuff I didn't really follow. But anyways, she asks basically if people my age would be willing to leave their current situations / change their future plans, or if their futures are more set in stone and not easily persuaded. I didn't know how to answer or what she was even asking, but I entirely assumed that her question was work or job related. Since she started off talking about how she has just started working with people in their 20s, I say, that's a loaded question. I think people in their 20s, millennials and Gen Z, are quicker to leave or change jobs, and that staying at a job for at least a year or whatever is less important than it used to be. Something vague like that. After my response and two more times in our conversation like this, she starts to give reasons for why she was asking me these questions, even though I never asked. She says she thought I was so pretty and have such a youthful look. And then once she complimented my skirt, "You are just so sweet." I'm so tired and didn't even question why she was talking to me until she's giving all the reasons. And also, this is a brand new skirt, literally the first time I wore it. So my brain is probably like, yeah, this isn't weird. The skirt is adorable, if that makes sense. I'm trying to reason why it took so long for me to see how bizarre she was. She asks if I'm in college or recently graduated. I didn't say my age ever, but I said, yeah, I graduated a few years ago. She stares at me expectantly, like I'm not done talking, and eventually I say, "I graduated in 2018, as her silent stares made me uncomfortable. Next, she asked if I have any fun plans for the weekend. I literally said, "No, not really." At this point, it's 9:50, and I am clearly trying to break the convo and pretend to look at items the opposite direction from her. But she moves towards me. Every time I try to end the conversation, she asks another question, and then asks, "What about you?" Future job situation, pretty unclear question from earlier that I didn't understand in the first place. I said that it is hard to say. I'm happy right now. It's my first job out of college, and I'm going on 3 years with them, but I probably don't see myself there in 10 years. At this point, I'm uncomfy. But just because I want this conversation to end, I don't think she's suspicious at all yet. I feel bad for her and assume she's starved for human interaction or something like that. Then, to my relief, they make the second announcement that they are closing. I use this to try to end the convo. "Well, yeah, I should get up there," she says. "I didn't even realize they're closing so soon," which I found strange since they made the exact same announcement 5 minutes earlier. At this point, I noticed that she had no cart, no basket, and zero items in her hands. So I'm just awkwardly like, "Yeah," thinking like, "It's time to go, they're trying to close," and begin walking away. She follows. I don't remember how she phrased it. She basically asked me if I'd be interested in going to work for her or be mentored by her. I'm a dumbass, but this is the first time a clear red flag really went off for me. I just got a weird feeling in my stomach, and it became really obvious that this whole entire conversation, from the beginning, she's had an ulterior motive. But I'm thinking she's trying to sell me something, like rope me into an MLM or pyramid scheme. Everything started adding up as I realized she has no idea what my current job is, what line of business I'm in at all, what my degree is in, or where I even went to school. I have no idea what the hell her job is or what industry she works in. I was a little curious since she'd been asking all these oddly specific questions, but I made a point not to ask her that or anything at all, since I really wanted the convo to end and go home. I say, "I'm good. I like my job. They treat me really well, and I have no interest in leaving anytime soon." I make it clear I have no interest in whatever she is offering. I say it is nice to meet her. Have a good night. She awkwardly tries to keep the convo going, but I literally just leave and walk away at this point. Once there were other people around, I sped up to the register and was just shaken up trying to process how weird that interaction was. I'm questioning, was it even that weird? Or am I overreacting? Anyway, I'm happy to be around other people. I'm debating whether to tell the cashier lady. She's busy closing and talking to the employees. And I'm at the service checkout register where you make returns and stuff. I didn't say anything while I'm at checkout because I don't even know how to explain it without relaying all the events. But as I'm walking out, I see a manager by the door and decide I really should mention something. It was brief and probably pretty unhelpful. Didn't give him any details really, as it was like 9:55 and always feel bad for leaving close to closing. I also regretted not telling the woman cashier, since I could tell he thought I was about to complain / be a Karen when I first walked up. He was surprised by what I actually was telling him. But yeah, anyway, I think I said she was a 50-ish-year-old white lady with a colorful mask asking me my age and personal info and sort of following me around. She had zero items and that it had happened in all less than 5 minutes ago. She said her name was Tabitha. She was definitely still in the store. There was no way she left without me seeing, as I was on high alert and walked probably twice as fast as her up to the front. I didn't say this part, but I think I made it clear she was still there. He said he thought that sounded really weird and would keep an eye out for her, asking if I knew what she looked like or any other identifiers, etc., which is when I told him her approximate age and mask color. I've never even had any interaction so close to this or had any suspicions that I was about to be trafficked in my life. Something just felt so incredibly off about the whole situation. The more I think about it, nothing adds up in regards to her looking like hippie. I've decided it's one of scenarios. 1. She dressed like this as a decoy, not to come off as someone involved in trafficking. Or 2, she was trying to get me to join a cult. This seemed so far-fetched when it first crossed my mind, but in hindsight, a lot of questions she was asking me definitely related to how stable I am as a person. And she literally asked if people my age, and specifically future, could be easily persuaded. And she was always kind of dancing around what she did, what she worked for, or mentored people in. Or was this more of a scam situation where she was trying to recruit me to be in an MLM pyramid scheme? But what would that MLM even be? She looked like a hippie, and if this was the case, you'd think she'd be trying to sell me on whatever she actually does more. She didn't mention a product or a company or even her industry once during the conversation. Or am I completely crazy and overthinking everything? Sorry this was so long, I'm still kind of processing the interaction. I also remember seeing two TikToks from different women describing situations insanely similar to what happened to me. I would really love to know what you guys think or if anyone else has something similar happened to them. Thanks for reading. So let's look to the comments to see what everybody else on Reddit thought about her situation. Hazel underscore Evers says, 1,000,000% this was an Amway thing. They do this to target all the time in my city. Their script is super vague and culty, and they lurk in stores without buying anything or trying to lure people in. So I Googled what Amway is, and I kind of didn't get too much information on it other than it is a MLM pyramid scheme, and it has a really bad reputation and all this stuff. So that's probably why they were not mentioning the name in the script, why they're super vague, because they don't want people to be able to research the company and see that it is a scam. Another person named Squalpsh said, agreed, totally Amway. This just happened to me yesterday. I was out skating and a runner stopped to talk to me, complimented my skates, casually asked what I do, if I'm at school, etc. Then mentioned how he's doing an exciting e-commerce business. LOL. I think I look friendly and gullible because this has happened to me 3 times. Seems like such a shitty way to make money, having to trap people into BS conversations. Ugh. Another user, Spare Handle, commented, it's Amway. She was in full scripted recruitment mode. She did try to sell you on the inculcation into the Amway cult. You probably have heard about the love bombing that cults do. First, they are just so impressed with you that they can't say enough nice things about how amazing it is and it would be to see you succeed. After usually 3 meetings, they invite you to a professionally staged rally, which they call a second look meeting, to see what the business can do for you. 40 minutes in, they say they have lots of corporate partners, but one of them is Amway, who lets them use their platform. It keeps going. Lots of psychological tricks to get you to agree to sign up. Lots of happy talk. They never tell you that they have their own America First religion that passes itself off as Christianity. You can decide if you want to be patriotic or religious in your personal life, but their brand is forced and culty and overrides your personal values. Once the love bombing is over and you've signed up, they start to nitpick at your smallest and biggest choices. They do part of this by criticizing how much you, quote, want to succeed. They want you to take the advice and counsel of the people who recruited you and the folks that recruited them. If they say you shouldn't get engaged, should dump your best friend, etc., you are expected to follow along. Worst of all, they stress dropping out of school and quitting your job too early to go full-time. In Amway, before you have the appropriate profit base or any profit at all, if you see them coming or anyone like them, run. User Sherwood in the Forest said, I hate that women have to be on alert when doing something ordinary like buying blush. I'm glad you're safe. That would have freaked me out too. There was a white windowless van parked behind me today, and I went out of my way to not walk next to it. It was most likely nothing, but you just never know. Hopefully your interaction was just an MLM hun lacking self-awareness. I could see her making comments about your appearance if she works for a makeup MLM or any MLM really. A few years ago, I was backing out of a parking spot when a random lady jumped in my passenger seat and demanded I drive her somewhere 15 minutes away. I was so shocked and alarmed that I actually drove her to where she asked. Definitely one of the dumbest things I've done. But I did have enough sense to call my mom, who was actually close by, and keep her on the phone with me. The lady got really pissed when I called my mom. I still have no idea what this was really about, but it scared me enough that the first thing I do when I get my car is lock my doors. Lucky for us, we have some gut instincts, but it's unfortunate when we do not use them. So yes, this, like, you going into a situation, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, or you see something that seems like a red flag. It is always just the safest thing, first and foremost, to trust your gut and avoid something from happening. Because even if it is a small chance of, yeah, that van has bad people in it, or it could just be a van, like, you don't want to increase those odds. Make it from, you know, a 2% chance of getting pulled into a van as opposed to a 0% chance of being pulled into a van, because I noticed and I saw that there's a different parking spot I can go to, etc. Also, locking your car doors is so freaking important. Do not forget it. The second you get in your car, you lock those doors. I have known this because, again, at my college, when I had to go to the downtown campus for the last portion of my degree, I was chased by some of the homeless people there, and a lot of my friends too. I'm pretty sure every single person I know who's been to the downtown campus has been chased by a hobo and or has had a hobo under their car waiting for them. I talk about this so nonchalantly, it's sad, but it really was like that. So we used the buddy system, always lock our car doors, all that good stuff. So just remember to always be a little paranoid. Unfortunately, yeah, be a little paranoid, be self-aware, be aware of your surroundings, all that good stuff. One time, I actually did have an experience with a white van. I was sitting on a curb of a business center one day, and literally just this huge white van, no windows or anything, pulled off of the road and turned down to where the curb was that I was sitting on, and they slowed down and came to a stop, and I freaking bolted into the business building there. It was the business center there, and I didn't even turn around to check. I didn't give any kind of bother to if it was or wasn't a good person. I didn't want to know. I just left. So I suggest you do the same. Anyway, thanks for coming to my TED Talk, and we'll see you on next week's episode. Stay safe.